of the Power of Us podcasts are not licensed therapists, medical professionals, legal advisors, or certified experts. The views and opinions expressed by the host are based on personal experiences and are intended solely for informational, inspirational, and educational purposes.
Hello, my name is JJ Holly.
And I'm Monica Daniel.
And welcome to another episode of The Power of Us. We are very pleased to welcome Ms. Kim Hess, the founder of Cassidy Joint for Hope. So
Hi.
Kim, welcome. Thanks
yeah,
for coming
thank
here
you.
Today.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Tell us a bit about your background and kind of how this got started.
Well, my background, I was just, so I grew up in the Woodlands area. Oh, no, I didn't grow up in the Woodlands area. We raised our family in the Woodlands area. Mm-hmm. Actually, I grew up in Montgomery, not too far from here. So we were just the average American family living and raising their family in the best place to raise your family in the Woodlands in our little bubble. I know I was pursuing my architect degree or, you know, job with working with Howard Hughes Corporation. And my husband, Jed, was working with Memorial Hermann. Oh. We had three beautiful children, the ages of 16, I believe at the time, 14 and 10. Mm-hmm. And we were just living the American dream. Doing all the right things, checking off the right boxes. And then in 2015, just 5 days before Christmas, we lost our oldest daughter, Cassidy, to suicide. Mm-hmm. And of course, that changed our lives forever. So that's, so from that, we turned our pain into purpose and we started a foundation called Cassidy Joint for Hope to make sure that no other family loses a child that way. You know, 2015 was a difficult year. We lost that I know of six CIC students to suicide. Mm-hmm. But I didn't hear about any of them until Cassidy. And she was in December, right before, you know, Christmas. Mm-hmm. And yet we had already lost four. She was a fifth. And right after Cassidy, I know there was a sixth. And there may have been even more that we didn't know about. And so we just simply weren't talking about suicide back then. It certainly wasn't on my family's radar. I mean, I don't think it was on anyone's radar because that was almost 10 years ago. It'll be 10 years, you know, this December. And it was a silent epidemic that we just weren't simply talking about. So from that pain, we took it and we decided that we can't just sit back and let Cassidy's life be lost, you know, without shedding light on this dark epidemic. Mm-hmm. Shortly after, we lost Cassidy in December. And then, you know, in our family, I guess, was the first family that was just transparent about how we lost her from the very beginning. Because, mm-hmm. you know, and one of the reasons, because she was on life support for 6 days. And so we reached out to our community, our churches, just the school for prayers. Because mm-hmm. We needed a miracle. We clearly didn't get our miracle, but we realized that this is truly a community problem. Mm-hmm. And so we needed to break the silence and to talk about it. And so as a response to that, Howard Hughes and Memorial Hermann got together and decided that they wanted to respond to the community in a big way. So in that May, they hosted a community event called, I think it was called a community response at the Methodist Church. They brought in a keynote speaker and they asked a couple of families who they knew, local families who had lost a child to suicide, if they wanted to share their story. And I was one of them. And at the time I was like, oh my gosh, I can't possibly share Cassie's story this soon. I'm like, I mean, I'm still grieving.
So
right.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, just think about it. Pray about it. I did. And eventually I decided, okay, you know what? My pastor kind of talked with me. He's like, you know, if you are vulnerable, put yourself out there, put Cassie's story out there. You don't know how many lives that you can touch or even save. So I'm like, okay. So I listened to my heart and agreed to share Cassie's story on the big stage just shortly after losing her. And then from that evening, and there was a packed house. There was a seat left in that church. Just people started contacting us and thanking me for just opening the veil, you know, for it allows them to share their stories about how they are personally struggling at the time, how their children are struggling, how they had lost someone to suicide in the past, but too ashamed to right. to say that they lost someone that way.
Because people think something is broken with us. Why would?
And that's just it. They people think it's a reflection of your parenting,
absolutely.
Which it simply isn't. You know, I mean, the sad thing is, suicide does not discriminate. Mm-hmm. I mean, here we are in this beautiful community. You know, I mean, we were a good family. You know, we raised our kids right. I mean, they were involved in church and, you know, church camp. And, you know, you think you're doing everything right. But there's so many influences outside of your home that your children are exposed to on a daily basis that you really don't have a lot of control over and you don't even know. So I think living and growing up here in the Woodlands, people just don't want to admit the struggles that their family or their children might be having.
There's a certain, a Camelot complex, mm-hmm. you know, where, oh no, we don't want to talk about the problems because people will think that they'll lose that illusion of how perfect it is.
Right.
And absolutely. It just covers up the...
Everything is so perfect.
And we live in a community of high achievers, you
yeah.
know,
yes.
and a lot of expectations, you know, mm-hmm. because there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of great, successful leaders in our community, mm-hmm. which they are raising leaders in their own families. And so there's just, and you got to get to the right college and all of these stresses that, you know, we feel like if we admit that our children are struggling or sometimes we're struggling ourselves, mm-hmm. that's a reflection of our character or something. And it just simply isn't.
Can yeah. we take a step back and would you like to discuss Cassidy? Tell us a little bit about Cassidy and who she was.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, and that's a huge part of Cassidy's story is that she wasn't the girl that you would never dream that she would be someone who would take their life because she didn't check that box. You know, she was the last person, actually. She was silly. I mean, she was 16. She was still young. She was a junior in high school. She was a College Park cheerleader. You know, she was the one who would walk into the room and make fun of herself. She would be the one who would make you laugh and just didn't take herself too seriously, didn't take life too seriously. And so she was literally the last person that you would think would take their life. She had no history of mental illness, depression. She wasn't being bullied. So literally that day came as a complete surprise to mm-hmm. us, you know, because sometimes you do have those signs.
I was going to ask you,
yeah.
were there any signs beforehand?
Well, so looking back, now that I know what some of the signs are, which some of the signs of someone, a teenage struggling, may be that they're sleeping too much, sleeping too little, withdrawing from families. But you know what? Some of those are just signs of being a regular teenager.
Yeah, those
absolutely.
Are very similar.
Yeah. So, you know.
I think we've all done that as teenagers.
Right. And so now that I look back, yeah, Cassidy was sleeping too much. Mm-hmm. You know, she was withdrawing a little bit. Mm. But, you know, like
but
I said, it wasn't
like
on
that.
The radar. So it's like you don't even think that that's.
It just happens.
It's just being a teenager. Yeah.
No signs, nothing leading up to it that you felt, okay, I look back and this is, and I'm asking this for mm-hmm. others that may see something different mm-hmm. Beforehand.
There were no signs until that day.
Wow.
So, I mean, that morning, it was the Monday before school let out for Christmas break. So she was a junior. They had finals all week, you know, for the close out the fall semester. And your junior year is so stressful for right. kids because, you know, that's the last, especially that semester, is the last semester really your grades count to get into, yeah. you know, the college
that's
you
want. That's pushing to the finish line. That's
exactly.
where your class rankings happen.
Yep, yep.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, and she was taking some AP classes that she had no business taking. Mm-hmm. I mean, AP pre-cal, she wasn't going to use that. But, you know, how sometimes you get talked into taking those yes. accelerated classes. So she was struggling with a few classes, but, and we had tutors lined up for her. So, yep. you know, we're addressing that mm-hmm. situation. But when she left that morning for school, it all seemed normal, you know? I mean, I told her I loved her, have a great day, kissed mm-hmm. her, watched her drive off to school. And from my end, everything was just a typical day. Mm-hmm. But from what I would learn from her friends, that day, it was not a typical day for Cassidy at school that day because she was sad. Mm-hmm. The girl who always had a smile on her face was sad, visibly sad that day, and her friends, you know, noticed and they picked up. And by lunchtime, like she was crying. Mm-hmm. And they would ask her throughout the day, there are different friends, Cassidy, what's wrong? And every mm-hmm. time she said, I'm fine, nothing, She never,
which is our usual response,
right?
Things aren't fine,
and that's just like dig, dig. Mm-hmm. And when you know, you ask that question, and someone says they're fine. I mean, don't stop there,
right?
But I mean, like I said, no one thought anything back mm-hmm. then, and so you know, I know her last class was her cheer class, and her cheer coach pulled her aside and, you know, asked her, because our teachers are trained to, whenever you see your student acting mm-hmm. right, the questions to ask their students, and Cassie answered every question perfectly, said she was fine, walked away with a smile on her face. So wow. She knew exactly how to hide whatever it was. Mm-hmm. She knew how to hide it. And that's what a problem is. Our kids know exactly how to hide it.
Yeah. Kids do, and adults do. And right. Again, there's this stigma that, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I should be able to handle anything.
Right.
And asking for help is the hardest thing to do.
It is. And her friends, you know, in Cassie's situation, her friends, you know, did everything right. They gave her the opportunity to open up and talk, mm-hmm. and she still chose to stay silent. And so that was always something with my daughter. She never liked to talk about her feelings. It was like pulling teeth to try to get her to talk to her, at least to me. I mean, I'm sure she talked to her friends, but sometimes sure. the parent and a mom, especially a mom daughter, you know, were the last people mm-hmm. that they're going to open up to.
Typical.
And so, it is typical. And so I guess my advice to parents is if, you know, you see something and, you know, make sure you are aware of all the signs that could lead up to someone that might want to be in that dark situation that could lead up to them taking their lives. Just kind of educate yourself. Excuse me. Because we do go around and offer training to parents, to organizations, to churches, to schools, whoever that we can train to educate them on the signs. But once you start noticing any of these signs and just, you know, your child better than anyone else, mm-hmm. trust your gut. So, I mean, to me, that's the bottom line is if you just sense something that's just not right, trust your gut and do something about it, you know. And I think it's a myth that, well, I know it's a myth that we used to think that if you brought that question up, if you ask someone if you're thinking about suicide, that's going to put the thought in their head.
Right.
That is not true. It's been proven that's a myth, because when someone's in that situation, they need someone to draw it out of them. They need someone to open up that conversation, because it's a very difficult conversation to have, especially as a teenager, you know? So I think if we could just make it easier and if we could be comfortable with saying that word, suicide, you know, because we dance around that word.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't help anybody, because if we can't say the word, if we can't address the situation, how can we save lives? Mm-hmm. So
isn't there a hotline number too that mm-hmm. that's been?
Yeah, that's so they available. Simplified it. It's just a 3-digit number now, 988.
Yep.
And so they simplified it for us. So that's that's one
because
of the things
sometimes you don't want to talk to mm-hmm. people you know, because that stigma.
Right.
Call it
right.
Somebody else.
And you can chat to it.
Yeah.
Text it. Yeah. So they make it simple. There's help out there. There's resources.
Can you tell us about some of the programs you guys have implemented?
Yes. So one of the first things I did that summer, after we pulled down the veil, after we had that big, you know, thing at our church, I gathered Cassidy's best friends on my back porch that summer, because I needed to know, what did we miss?
Right.
Y'all missed it. I missed it.
Yeah.
What did we miss? And so all summer, we kind of brainstormed and we're trying to figure out what can we do to make sure they don't lose another friend.
Right.
And what it ended up being, they wanted to get the message into the schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's think about it. Our kids spend so many hours of the day at school.
Absolutely.
10, 12, 14 hours.
Right.
And it's a long day.
At school and then after school with their clubs.
Activities.
And so it's important that they feel safe at school. And that they talk about it and they offer a safe space, and that we have our teachers comfortable offering that space, safe space, trained to be that safe person. And so we needed to get this into the schools. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to start a club. So luckily, our principal at College Park High School, which was Dr. Merle at the time, he welcomed it. He's like, I don't know what this is going to look like. I'm going to trust that you're doing something right. And we're like, well, we don't exactly know what it looks like either, but we are in safe hands. And so we just started CAVS Join for Hope at College Park High School. And we started in September is National Suicide Prevention Month. So I mean, that just right after school starts, you're like, you're jumping right into September. So these kids, like we just, from day one when school started, we just started getting the message out, this new club. And then in September, I mean, every week in September, we just had activities throughout the school just to spread the message that our students are here to offer hope for each other and that we're here to talk about our struggles together. And so we had our first club meeting after school, and I think we had over 50 kids there. And it was just
50 kids.
Yeah. Of all different organizations, you know, they're all sports, theater, you know, whatever. There are so many different diverse kids at that first meeting. And it was just such, you know, it was a great feeling just sitting back and watch the conversations flow with people that they probably never would have talked to before. So really that's the heart.
Which is a whole other benefit.
Yeah.
Get us out of our own little circles.
Right. And that's right. And get up from your phone.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
You know, just look up and can then talk and share a conversation with other people.
And you've created that space. Cassidy has created that space for those children.
Yes. So everything is just in the memory of the spirit of Cassidy, because she would have been dancing all over that place, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, honestly, we never dreamed that it would go beyond College Park High School. We're like, oh, just, so that's where our heart was, you know, with these kids, this school. And then...
What is the name of that program?
Cavs, Joint for Hope, Cavs. For Cavaliers.
Okay.
So it's their mascot.
Oh, that's right.
So then Concordia Lutheran School in Tomball noticed what we're doing up here in the Woodlands. So they contacted us and like, can we have a Join for Hope club at Concordia? So we're like, of course. So then we did one there. And then I think Oak Ridge was next. And so just one by one, we started adding clubs. Mm-hmm. So we had Eagles Join for Hope. And so sitting back like, okay, and that was before we created our foundation. So we're like, we're getting multiple clubs here. I think we need a foundation to support this.
Right.
To financially support it and to just kind of guide all of these under one umbrella.
Kind of develop best practices. Just
exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's where Cassidy Joined for Hope and the name came from. Like, okay, we need one big mothership here to support all these Joined for Hope clubs. And so I'm like, nothing better than Cassidy Joined for Hope. So
I was wondering how you got the name.
I know. Everyone's like,
I've never heard that story yet.
Yeah.
Are there any additional clubs other than the Cavs that started out?
So we have Conroe, which is Tigers Joined for Hope. We have Woodlands Christian Academy, Warriors Joined for Hope. Rose Hill, Grand Oaks now. And then we have one at UT in Austin and one at LSU.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, and these are kids. These are girls are actually at Cavs Joined for Hope that went off to college. Like, we want to continue this on our campus at college. So we're going to help them do a campus walk and get their kids trained, get their RAs trained in college. So, yeah.
Because it's a totally different environment when you go from high school to college. And
right.
You're a
it's
lot more
scary.
On your own.
You are on your own. And there's that transition is scary and you feel isolated sometimes. So we're proud of these girls for you know, supporting their campuses in such a wonderful way.
What is Cassidy Joined for Hope needing from the community partnership? Tell us how we can reach out, contact you. Tell us how we can help Cassidy Joined for Hope.
So one of our big goals is to educate and train as many people in our community on the signs for suicide prevention as possible. So, you know, and those can be in simple ways as doing, if your company wants to do a lunch and learn, you know, we can do Talk Saves Lives training, which is through the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. Okay. It's a simple training, you know, and it doesn't get deep into, you know, whatever, but it's enough training where you can recognize the signs and then know the resources to get. But we can do that within an hour in your lunchtime for your company. So, you know, we're reaching out to companies who want to provide a safe environment for their workforce, schools, community. So, you know, one of our big asks is that you invite us into your organization and help us offer the resources and the training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another way is to just come to our events, you know, and I'll talk about an upcoming event we have in September, but just come. You know, a lot of people talk about the problem we have in our community, but then they don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, because honestly, and I know whenever you interviewed Judge Mack, he was telling you some statistics on suicide, on youth suicide is suicide is the second leading cause of death for our youth. Mm-hmm. And these are ages 10 years on up. Mm-hmm. So 10 years old, just think about that. That's an intermediate. That's probably fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Some of them are even in fourth grade in elementary school that not are only thinking about it, but they're making a plan and even acting on it, you know? So we can't wait till they get in high school to start educating them and the parents. We got to reach them much earlier because honestly, our kids are faced with so many different struggles today than we were when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. And the root of all of it is the internet and the smartphones.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about how social media plays into this.
Oh, huge. And it's scary, you know. And as much as a parent tries to put those protections on your children's phones, you know, and because there are a lot of parental locks and, you know, things that you can do. Mm-hmm. But our kids are so smart.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know their way around it. Mm-hmm. You know, just this morning.
And if they don't know, they'll talk to their
they'll
friends.
They'll figure it out. Oh, yeah. Sure. There's always a friend that yeah. can help you get
it's
around
like
that.
Like the sub-intelligence community, you know. They're all like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's scary how much darkness is out there.
Oh. Yeah.
Just this morning when I was getting ready for this podcast, I was listening to the Today Show, and they were interviewing, well, they had an interview of a family on there who was suing ChatGPT.
Oh.
Because they believe their son took his life because using ChatGPT. He started using it, which most people do, most students do, help them for an assignment.
Yeah.
And so he's using it for school. And then he started, and the scary thing is those bots, those mm-hmm. computer bots, mm-hmm. they're so smart, and their response and feedback sounds so feel so realistic, like it's a human that yes. you're interacting yes. with on the yes. other side. And so I think that's one of the things that they want. They want that personal connection with these
a
bots.
A relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So he started giving more information outside of school, like how he was struggling and how he was feeling. And he was talking about his thoughts of suicide with this ChatGPT and opened up that he was, you know, considering talking to his family, opening up to his mom about his struggles.
Yeah.
And the response from ChatGPT is that they suggested not to talk to your mom.
Uh-oh.
At this point. And then and at the end of it, they even, assisted him in writing a suicide letter.
Oh, you're kidding.
So I'm telling you, used to, we had there's always been the dark web where yes. there were websites out there that were like this, but yeah. you had to search for it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You
had to
find it.
You couldn't just find it. But now it's so easily, it's scary. So, I mean, I want to give that advice to parents. Monitor mm-hmm. your kids. That is such an important thing, is monitor not only their phone, but their search history on their ChatGPT or anything.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous world out there.
So how would someone get a hold of Cassie Joint for Hope and learn more about it and
yeah.
request help and services in a class?
So you can go to our website, CassieJointForHope.com. We have, you know, a lot of information on there. We have some resources. And, you know, one of the best places to go for mental health resources in our area is through Mosaics of Mercy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all have interviewed them
yet
or not.
We have had them on.
Yes.
It was a wonderful interview.
And so it just makes it easy yes. for everyone to just kind of filter through yes. Mosaics because...
there are so many organizations, and it's nice to have kind of a hub.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, you don't... Because most parents don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I certainly wouldn't have known where to start, especially if this is all new to you, like you don't have a history of this with your child. You don't know where to begin to find help. So we always direct
them
to
Mosaics. And we're also busy, and there's so many things going on. It's just...
And then, you know, one thing I always remind parents and students is... You know, therapy is not a one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. Just because you don't respond well to one therapist, don't quit. Go find another one. Mm-hmm. Go find, you know, I mean, our family, whenever we were going through therapy after the loss of Cassidy, each one of us went to a different one because we all connect differently with different therapists. So I strongly encourage, you know, parents to just remember that and to get the help because our community has so many resources that we just don't know about. And then we have a page on there where if you want to request me to come speak to your organization, you can make a request through there. You can donate through our website. We're all a 100% volunteer-based foundation. So
do you need some volunteers to help you do some things?
Just on a daily basis, no. Mm-hmm. But when we have upcoming events, we do. Uh-huh. You know, and so, and then, of course, to financially support our events and mm-hmm. our training and things like that, you can donate on our website as well.
So how do you reach out to volunteers when you do need them? How do you partner?
I do this. Ask the community for help. Yeah, we put it out there. We don't, you know, one thing, we're starting a newsletter so we can ask for help that way, but we rely heavily on social media, you know, which maybe is not our best way, but that seems like the easiest way.
Well, it's like any other tool.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I can use a hammer to hammer a nail, or I can hit my thumb with it. You know,
just... Exactly. That's for sure. But one exciting thing that we had, this is our second year to have Camp Cassidy.
Oh.
And so, and that was one of the dreams that our kids, you know, way back 9 years ago on my back porch, they wanted to start a schools club and then they wanted to have a camp in Cassidy's name. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so 9 years later, we have Camp Cassidy. And so, and this is our second year to have it, and we have it in June. And basically we get all the kids that are leaders in their Join for Hope clubs, to come for a 2-day camp, on our property. And we train them. We do, you know, training, how to, you know, look for signs of suicide, how the resources. Judge Mack helped us do the training. Mm-hmm. We brought in MCOPE, which is the overdose protection, you know, Endeavor Foundation, to train them on, you know, just overdose, drug overdose awareness, and how to use Narcan. Mm-hmm. We had a foundation train them on anti-bullying. So it was 2 days of training, but then also we brought in counselors that we did big group discussions, break out into small groups, and then we had a lot of fun in between, like we'll go fishing and just a lot of stuff outside. But and then we had Cassidy's best friends that were on my back porch come back and be the camp counselors. We called them camp buddies. And so we had 21 kids, I think, this past year to do it. And so it was, and they wanted, like, they said 2 days is too short. We want it to go a whole week.
Oh, boy.
Like, no, I don't think I can do a week. So, but that was one thing. These kids can leave Camp Cassidy and feel empowered to, you know, spread that message, you know, to their own peers. So it was really neat.
That's wonderful. Is there anything else that you would like to touch on that we may not have covered that you would like everyone to know about Cassidy Join for Hope?
You know, I just want to stress that you don't need a license to be a lifesaver. And what I mean by that is, you know, we think that because we're just, you know, a parent, a friend, a teacher, that we can't possibly step in and save a life. It just takes one person, and mm-hmm. it takes one, maybe one question, you know, are you okay?
Yeah.
And then if you know that they're not okay, don't stop there. Just don't, you know, don't leave the conversation, and certainly don't leave them alone. But, you know, any of us can be lifesavers out there. And so I think, you know, the more that we're aware of that, and the more that we're prepared to step in whenever we need to step in, you know, we could be a suicide safe community. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we do have one upcoming event I would like to talk about. And this is very similar to that one speaking event I did 9 years ago with Judge Mack. And this time we're going to have it on September 10th, which is World Suicide Prevention Day. Mm-hmm. We thought, what better day to have this big community event, because it's time. I almost feel like it's 2015 all over again, because we've had several young suicides in our community this past year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, once again, we need to respond to that. Mm-hmm. So on September 10th, at the Woodlands Church, we're having Break in the Silence. And we're bringing in another keynote speaker. He's going to come in, Nathan Harmon. He has his own story, but leave the kids with the message of hope. But we want this to feel like a student-led event. So our MCs are going to be students.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Judge Mack will be saying a few words. We'll have a local mental health specialist, Nate Guyton. He'll be addressing the signs to look for, the things he's seeing in his practice with young kids. And the last piece of that event, which is, I think, the best piece, is going to be a student panel, where we're going to have students on stage representing different schools in our community, sharing in their own words the struggles that they're going with, and how can we, as a community, as a parent, as a teacher, support you better.
Right.
Because you've got to help us fill the gaps.
And they're the experts.
And they are the experts. Right. We need them to be the voice for each other. And believe me, they want to. Yeah. I mean, there's many of these students that they want to talk. Wow. And which is important for us to listen.
And it's important for us to create a platform for them to
Exactly. see. And so while Nathan is in town, those 2 days, he's going to be visiting 6 schools in our community.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and present to those kids. So that's very exciting, too. So we're very happy with the districts for working with us on that.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you. This Absolutely. Has been eye-opening.
Well, I hope so.
I thought I knew about Casters and Overhope, but I really didn't. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Hence, one of the reasons why we decided to create the Power of Us podcast. It's for stories like yours, Cassidy's, to shine a spotlight on the organizations that may be overlooked or people may not know about. Thank you for providing the resources for people that may be in need.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you. We appreciate your time being here.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Thank you.
And if any kid out there wants to start a Join for Hope club in your school, please contact us and we have the packet ready to get you started.
Perfect.
Thank you. Well, thank you guys for tuning in today. You can visit our Facebook page at the Power of Us podcast and go on, like, follow, and share. Share this episode. You may not know who's in need of resources. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you.